If you'll turn to Colossians 2:10, the title of this message is Complete in Christ, and I think we're just going along with the theme here today, just different nuances of it. Colossians 2:10, and the Lord put me this verse on my heart to speak to you today from a personal place in my life, the place of the nagging thought that somehow I'm just not enough. And that's a tough one. And I don't imagine I'm the only one that you can get there in a way. Maybe just not adequate, not prepared or equipped a little bit, just falling a little short in some things. There's a sense that when you can look back over your life, sometimes you can say, yeah, I have come short in some things. Or maybe I've failed people. Or maybe I haven't lived up to some certain things that, well, you know, you could, should, maybe. Those things can be real, but but God and the Word of God, and not just in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, but many places in the Word of God that we're going to see this afternoon, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. So, goodbye inadequacy in any sort of way. Just kiss that one goodbye. Because that's not the truth. And that's not the reality that you live in Christ. Christ liveth in you. And there is nothing incomplete in Him whatsoever. And, you know, you think about it. Romans 8:1 tells us there is therefore, because of Jesus, now no condemnation. Not in any sort of way at all. When it's none with God. There's none. So we can be thankful in all this. And you know, God, the beautiful thing is these things, He built us, these things that can trouble us, trials and everything that can come into our lives. You can still believe Romans 8:28 too, because that's true. It's all working for our good. It may not feel good, appear good at the time. It might be the opposite of anything you would think could possibly be good. But it's just having faith. It's just believing the Word of God. You are complete in Him. I can't be more thankful. Wow. It's like the ministers that have been up here before today. There's the past is the past. This moment, we're alive, we're here. And we've all come from numerous places, other continents, perhaps. But He's brought us here because of His love, and to assure us that we're completely complete in Him. And there's more completing, too. We'll learn more about that today. But not to dwell on negative things, but just, again, to bring out how Christ does this and how He's, the victory's already been done in Him. It's already done. Thankful for that, too. You know, we talk a lot about how God's time and timing isn't the same as what we experience here. He's already seen everything. He's just having us walk through this life with Jesus as our bridegroom, not just Savior, but as a husband in that intimate relationship that's a husband and a wife. Just beyond wonderful, way beyond wonderful. And when you think about that, whether it's inadequacy, guilt, shame, anything that might be troubling you, we go here. Just go here. Sometimes you just say, Jesus, help me. Most of mine has helped me get over myself. That's the biggest stumbling in my life, is me right here. And you think about it. We know in Ephesians 6, that armor of God, it's a full armor. There's nothing lacking in that, head to toe, covered completely. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. That's an offensive weapon. You think about that. It's a fighter. We fight the Word with the Word, always. You know, some people say, well, my sword's a little dull. No, the sword is not ever dull. The wielder of the sword might be dull. If you're not being in here, not paying attention, that can happen. But even then, you say, Lord, help me. He knows our weakness. We've talked about infirmities this morning. Jesus became a man to know this, very God of very God. He was, is, and will be God for sure. But to experience this, to relate to us on this level that we are, just utterly amazing. Thank you for merciful, gracious, loving Father God. So, Colossians 2:10, the wondrous truth that it says you are complete in him. That's a present statement right now. It doesn't say that you might be complete in him someday, or that it's maybe remotely possible. It's a very firm statement. You are complete in him. And I love it. Of course, that's Jesus, because it says, which is the head of all principality and power. Well, praise God. I'd like to be complete in someone like that. It's over everything. Jesus, creator of all things. You're complete in that person. That's utterly amazing to me. Just beyond. So we're going to take a look at this word complete. And it's a many-faceted word, I will tell you. Just amazing. So the first meaning is to cause to abound. And I love that, because the love of Jesus in first love causes us to abound. You know, you hear people sometimes say, I'm just trying to survive. No. No. It's not just to survive. It's to thrive. It's to grow. We don't just survive this life. Of course not. Romans 5:20 tells us where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So it says sin abounded, and yeah, it does sometimes, but grace much more abounded. The grace and mercy of God will always supersede anything else. Always. Always has, always will, is right now. The fact that we're all here right now, or listening online, or whenever you may be listening, grace has much more abounded to you. Much more. In John 10:10, Jesus, he told his disciples, he tells us, he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So again, this life we live in him is super abounding, abundant life. It's not just a mere existence life. Like, okay, we're getting through it. Got through another day. No, it's like, praise God. Amen. I have another day to praise him and worship him. It's a privilege. An immense privilege. Goodness sakes. So he's so good to us. Another definition of complete is to furnish or supply liberally. And again, this is going kind of the above and beyond. It's kind of interesting. After a pastor had asked me to be one of the ones to speak today, the Lord kept putting the phrase moreover in my head. I was like, moreover. So I kind of went and looked up moreover a few times. I'm like, oh, yeah, there's a lot of moreovers. But it was like more and over. So it's always more, and it's always over, abundant, exceeding, all of that. Just thinking of all of these wonderful thoughts about being complete. So to furnish or supply liberally. And you think about it, there isn't really a much more gracious giver than our Father God, is there? He gave his Son. He gave the Holy Ghost to grow us up. Jesus said, I have to go because I have to send the Holy Spirit. They'll take all the things of me and make them personal to you when I'm not here in person with you. Amen. Wonderful. That's why it's so important to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hugely. I mean, goodness. Just amazing. It's not just a book. It's alive, living, breathing. We inhale and exhale this word. It's our life. We don't have anything, any life outside of this. We have a life in the natural we're living, sure, but temporary. It's the eternal life that we're looking forward to, that, as we always say in here, I pray to God it's today, and it's not because I just want to get out of whatever troubles I'm in. They're temporary. They come and go. Jesus is forever. Being married to him will be forever. Hallelujah. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know, God's consistent. If he's anything, he's loving too, but he's consistent. This word never changes. That's why it's such a wonderful, it's an anchor, it's a grounding, because a lot of things in life change all the time, minute by minute, day by day. Some changes can be very big, quickly, unexpected, come out of nowhere. But you can always go here, and you read the same thing, it never changes. God's promises that are yea and amen are always yea and amen. And we have very precious and great promises given to us. Wonderful, so highly favored, just immense. Philippians 4:19, God shall supply all our need. Yeah, we have need. Yep, we do. Mostly, we just need Jesus, the satisfier of every need we have. That's why we have need, so we can say, Jesus, God shall supply all our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Riches in glory. Wow. That's going to be our eternity in the ages to come. Not just an age, not any definite point in time. There's the 1,000-year millennial reign, but then what?
Well,
we'll find out. Praise God. We're going to know. Amen. Wonderful. All right, next. Complete. Fill to the brim. And I will say again, in this one, immediately the Lord encouraged me in Psalm 23. Because of the love of our bridegroom that Jesus has for us, we can join King David when he said, my cup runneth over. So a fill to the brim, again, with the Lord, isn't just fill it up to a level, but that cup is going to run over. It's the exuberant joyfulness that does that. The Holy Spirit, it's effervescent, you call it. It's like bubbling. It comes out. It's not just to a top of something. It's an above measure, far exceeding. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what he'll do in you, is take that love of Christ in you and just, it's like a gusher. You can't really help it. You can't contain it. Wonderful. Now you think about this too. There can also be an overflowing of the cup in trial too. That cup, Jesus asked, perhaps could a cup be taken? Because he knew what that was going to be. But he also had that joy that was set before him, which was all of us. It's wonderful. That's an overcomer. We do know in Romans 8:17 there is a condition for ruling and reigning, and that is to suffer together with him. And I think a lot of sufferings are in the heart. They can be physical, mental, emotional, a lot of different ranges of suffering. The hard ones, I think, are here in the heart, really hard. But then again, Jesus in his love and humanity, his love for mankind, had these heart things too. So again, that's why we can understand that, as Michael's talking about the high priest with compassion and everything, he understands our frailties and our infirmities. And the beautiful thing is, we don't suffer alone. It says, if so be you suffer with him. And he's always with you. That's a two-way street, easily. So we can be thankful he doesn't ever leave us alone. He doesn't say, well, you go over there and do that by yourself, and I'm going to go do something else. Of course not. He says, I'm right there with you in it. Always have been, always will be. Amen. You think about all of this. Wonderful. Remember when Paul asked God 3 times to remove that thorn? He asked, and you know, we can ask. I've asked a few times, could you please just not? It's okay, we're human. Again, no condemnation. He's not going to say, no, why are you asking that? He gets it. Sometimes he will remove it. But you know, if he leaves it, it's working for your good. There is something he is working in you, maybe out of you. It could be in or out, either way. Just amazing. But when Paul asked about removing the thorn in his flesh, God told him, "My grace is sufficient for thee." My grace. It's God's grace. "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." So then Paul rejoiced. He's like, "Oh, hey." He's like, "Wow," like a light bulb went on. He says, "Okay, most gladly, therefore, gladly, rather will I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." See, Paul, sometimes you've got to have those light bulb moments where God will just turn it on and say, "This is working for your good." So we can rejoice. Hallelujah. A fourth definition of complete: to render perfect. Wow, that's amazing. This word, render, is wonderful because it means to bring out the meaning of something by performance. Well, there we go. Brother Joe mentioned this one this morning already, Philippians 1:6. "He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it." He will do it until the day of Jesus Christ. And again, this is a firm statement. He which has begun a good work in you will perform it. There's no doubt or wavering there. He doesn't say, "Well, I might if I feel like it someday." No, I will. So you can rest in that. He is going to do it. Absolutely. You think about sometimes, I've had people tell me, "Well, I'm just wondering what the meaning of my life is." Oh, praise God, saints, we don't have to, I hope we don't say that. I don't wonder what the meaning of my life is. It's one way, one faith, one baptism, one mark, one bridegroom. That's it. My purpose in life is to win Jesus and marry him. That's it. Pretty simple. And it is actually simple. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so thankful we know what we know. So thankful. Now, when you think about this word complete, it's found in Colossians 2:10. It's also in Colossians 4:12. This is speaking of Epaphras, very dear brother to Paul. Colossians 4:12 says, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayer." Thank goodness we pray for each other. I know people pray for me. I feel it. It's needful. "That you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." That's wonderful. I hope we pray that for each other. That you stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Because God's full will and full counsel are for you. More for you than you can possibly comprehend. I promise that. But thank you, Jesus. Epaphras, his name means lovely. And I like that because all I can think of is altogether lovely. That's what Jesus is. And we are all together lovely in him. So all of you are lovely to me. Really. Wonderful. Beyond that, even. But because of Christ in you that lives in here, we're all as close as we get to him here. We're going to be together with him someday soon. I hope today, but we're what we have here, him living in us. It's just wonderful. That word perfect is teleo. We know that word. Brought to completion. It's a completing, a finishing. Just wonderful. All of it is. So we have the complete in Colossians 2:10 and 4:12 is translated as the word fulfill in 2 Thessalonians 1:11. So you have different nuances of these words. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. This is Paul writing to the saints at Thessalonica. He says, "Wherefore also we pray always for you." There's praying again. And the theme of praying. "We pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling." That's the high calling. "And fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power." That is a mighty bunch of words right there. Just, you could just mine them endlessly pretty much. But you think about this good pleasure of God's goodness, delight, satisfaction. It's that word benevolence, benevolent kindness. It's mutual, it's reciprocal. That's like a husband and a wife, is it not? Everything's mutual, mutually shared. And again, that's sufferings and joys. It goes both ways, for sure. But you know, it's suffering, again, it's together. You're not doing this on your own, not ever. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Always with you, always. Then Philippians 2:13. Go over there. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. There we have that good pleasure, but you see, it's God working in you. It's not you doing anything except yielding to grace and being thankful for the immensity of mercy that he has on your life. That's it. And why all of that? Well, go back to 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 12, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you and him. So there's the mutual again. You and him, him and you, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is, again, he's working his good pleasure in you to glorify Jesus and you in Jesus. Now this complete is translated as the word filled. Go back to Colossians 1:9. Got a lot of good stuff here. Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray. So we've had pray three times now. For you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Well, we've heard a little bit about wisdom already this morning. Manifold wisdom. That's a lot. All wisdom and spiritual understanding are given by, well, this is the Holy Ghost, again, that takes those things of Christ, that shows you the manifold wisdom of God. We couldn't do that on our own. There's no way. We just wouldn't get it. But we can get it. We can. Because God wants to show you all these things, and that's the Holy Spirit. Takes those things of Christ and makes them personal. So again, we lack nothing at all. Everything complete. God wants us to have it all. So may we just open our hands and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want it all. That's selfish in the world, but certainly not to God. Some of the sweetest words you could say to him is, I want it all. I want everything. Back before Mark and I, before we got filled, before we knew the bridal truth, we were in a church that was denominational, very milk. You know, sincere milk. It's the word of God. But we started praying a prayer that we didn't realize how huge it would be, was, I don't know what it is, God, but you have more, and we want it. We had no clue what it was. Really? I kid you not. Had no clue. But we just felt somehow there was more. We weren't being filled there. It was like a, and sometimes we would go up to the pastor and say, I know you're going to get in really good stuff. We were like waiting, like, he'd kind of look at us like, what are you talking about? Well, he couldn't because he didn't know. He didn't know what he didn't know. We didn't know what he didn't know. All I knew was there's something more. And Mark too. There's more. I don't know what it is. So we started praying. God, I don't know what it is. I just want it. Was he faithful to that life, to ours? And it's every one of you in here. Probably at some point, whether you actually said that or not, you knew it in your heart, which is why you're here or listening. Glory to God. All right. This word complete. It also, that word complete is a verb. It comes from another word that is an adjective that means full and lacking nothing, which is kind of the theme here. And it's very interesting because this fullness is attributed to three different things. The first thing it's attributed to is of hollow vessels. So you think about that Michael brought out about how if you have like a square or something and it's just a square, you can't put anything in it. It's like a solid. But a hollow is something that you can put things in. And I appreciate that. I mean, so true. Think about in your life. This is wonderful because you think of that's a vessel. A vessel, spiritually, is one that contributes to the usefulness of the husband. How does she do that? Well, she allows him to fill her, but then she also pours out. You fill up, you contain, but then you pour out. That love of Jesus can't just stay contained in here. If it's real, it can't. It doesn't mean you're up here or teaching. It doesn't mean necessarily anything like that. It just means your life is a testimony to this in love with Jesus, not just loving him, but you're in love with him. That's a whole different realm. But this vessel, the readied wife, is useful to him because of everything I just said. She's been emptied of self. And again, my biggest battle is self. I will honestly tell you that. God is constantly working with me on that and working on me. Praise his name. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so thankful. So thankful. But you think about this, emptied of self to receive Christ to the full. Sometimes God will create hollows in your life. He will create them. They're usually painful. It could be the loss of someone you love dearly. You probably all know, can think of things in your life where, ouch, that hurt. But if it's an emptiness, God wants to fill it with more of him, more of Jesus. That's why he allows these things, orders them. It's, again, Romans 8:28, all over the place. The second thing, full and lacking nothing, is attributed to. It's of a surface covered in every part. Well, all I can think of there is the blood of Jesus covers everything. There is nothing incomplete in that blood. It covers every surface, every crack, every crevice, every everything. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Well, this wasn't talking about the blood of bulls and goats and animals. This was a human life given. The only begotten Son of God the Father. That's a very particular life that was given for us. There's nothing lacking in that. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So that cleansing from sin is very complete. Just like the superabounding is very complete, that shedding of blood for the remission of sins is complete, done. We're clean through the word. Completely clean. Thank you, Jesus. The third thing here is the fullness is attributed to the soul, thoroughly permeated. I was like, wow. So you've got the hollow vessel, you've got the surface covered in every part. Now you have the soul thoroughly permeated. So that's like a saturation there. And you think about it, when you're in love, you're completely saturated with someone, aren't you? Completely. Captivated, enamored. There's a bunch of words you can think of, but you're fully contained with them. Well, that's our relationship with Jesus as bridegroom, is it not? Because that's his relationship with you. He's completely captivated by you. You think, how can that be? Well, I don't ask how anymore. I'm just like, thank you. No questioning. I don't even care how, honestly. I'm just glad. I'm just thankful. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Those are just the works of grace. That's not talking about things you do. You'll do good things out of the goodness of your heart because of Jesus, sure. But this is the work of grace here, and that God performs in your life. That word permeated, when you think about permeated, I always think about, you know, this, it's called fallow ground, that's your heart. It says you plow up that fallow ground. The fallow ground can get hard. That's the hard heart. You can get bitter, angry, hardness. You know, God wants to plow that up, soften it. I grew up on a farm in southwest Iowa, about 160 acres, that we had probably 60% of it was crop. So every spring I'd see a plow come through. It was a blade. It was sharp. But it cut that ground. And then the seed was planted. Then it was covered over. Then it rained. Then you had the sun. This is all physical stuff, but There's analogies to our life in Christ. Sometimes it's a cutting blade that will cut. But again, thank him for it. It's merciful because he wants that ground of your heart to be soft so that, again, the water of the word that washes, that cleanses. A human can only live without water for 3 days. You can't live without this for a second. I promise you that. I've tried a few times. It's not very pretty. Don't want to do that anymore. So you think about this. This fullness here is often noted in connection with the Holy Ghost. That's not a big surprise because we've been talking about this here today. Acts 7, 55 and 56. This is Stephen when he was being stoned. And you know, he was being stoned because, again, he was speaking the word of God and the truth. People don't like it today. They didn't like it back then. People are getting killed today for it. They were getting killed back then. Stephen, wonderful saint. Acts 7, 55 and 56 says, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost," that's the first thing mentioned right there, "looked up steadfastly into heaven." So, you know, he wasn't looking around down here, seeing what was going on. He was like looking up. That's an encouragement to us today. We always say, look up. Our redemption draws near. And I don't, redemption to rule and reign with Jesus, not just any redemption, the bodily captured up into the air, that redemption. He says, "And saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." Okay, this was before he died. Amazing. "And said, behold, I see the heavens opened." So he was confessing a testimony right here to whoever was there. "And the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." There you go. That was for some people. That's for us right now. Acts 11, 22 to 24. This is Barnabas. This is another one. And this is from this word, adjective of complete, that means full and lacking nothing. Acts 11, 22 to 24 says, "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which is within Jerusalem. They sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad." Aren't you glad when you see the grace of God? Oh, I sure am. "And exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." That's hold fast. Cleave to him. Embrace him. Love him. Be in love with him. "For he was a good man," here you go, "and full of the Holy Ghost and faith. And much people was added unto the Lord." Again, there's a good testimony. That was a witness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So as we close here, we have to come full circle. And I love how the Lord did this as I was studying this out, and just the Holy Spirit was ministering to my heart. There's another definition of completion, the one that was back in Colossians 2:10, that kind of brings everything together. It also means to consummate. Does. So you think about it. Consummate means to bring to fulfillment, to complete, to bring to the utmost point or degree. Well, I'll tell you what, there's an utmost point of degree, which again is ruling and reigning with him in the midst of the throne. That's kind of an utmost, I would say. You think about this. This is marriage language. There's a consummation of a marriage in the natural, of course. And you know, the thing is, I don't know what that's going to be like with Jesus, except it'll be beyond fabulous, amazing. It'll truly be an out-of-body experience, because it's not going to be in this body. It's going to be a body like unto his very own body. Wow. Amazing. And we're going to get to experience that. Complete in Christ. There's another completing, but the thing is, there's a completion now to know him as we're known. Oh my goodness. Wow. To love him fully, completely. Again, not in this body. This is very limited. I know we all know it's limited. We're there in spirit. We're going to be there in a body like unto his very own. We're complete in Jesus now. Yes, we are. But we will be exceeding fulfilled and satisfied when we see him face to face. Amen? All right. Hope this has been a blessing.